morning, good afternoon, and good night to everyone listening, and welcome to the Makeshift Managers Podcast. My name is Austin, and all I want for Christmas is Mike McCarthy to realize that after running the ball on 2nd and 10 so many times, teams are going to catch on.
And my name is Devin, and what was your tagline you just said?
That I want Mike McCarthy to realize that after running the ball on 2nd and 10 so many times, he needs to realize that other teams are going to probably catch on.
That sounds like Anthony Lynn verbatim. But the only thing that I want for Christmas is Justin Herbert to just win the Rookie of the Year. Just please. That's all I want.
Even with Anthony Lynn just trying to call halfback dives the entire time.
The kid's dealing on Thursday. I mean, like, dealing. He's been lighting up the Raiders secondary, and we are playing for a field goal at the end of the game with a guy who's missed 9 kicks this year.
I mean, that's the reason why you went to overtime.
Yeah, like, I just, because the thing was, I saw him kick it, and I was like, he's going to miss it. Because I was talking with Lindsay during the game, and I'm like, God, I have to turn this off. Because every time I watch the Chargers, stupid shit happens. It's like, the last time I'd watched them this year was the Bucks game, and then I watched Joshua Kelly give up our momentum in, like, one play, and I was like, nope, got to turn this thing off. I came back to it, and I thought we were going to blow it, but, you know, in Herb we trust, but sheesh.
I mean, I'll tell you one thing about that game before we analyze it in a little bit. Mariota, Carr went out on the first drive of the game, I believe, for the Raiders, pulled his groin. Mariota played well. Like, obviously didn't win, but, I mean, for a backup guy who lost his job to Ryan Tannehill, looked not too bad.
It's crazy. I saw a thing on Twitter during the game. Marcus Mariota was like, if he got a 60% snap share in any game on the year, he got an extra $250,000 for his contract. He got like an extra $500,000 if he won the game and he lost. So that sucks. But he could have made like over $1 million just by playing in that game and winning. Just in incentives on his contract. And I'm like, that's insane.
I wish I had incentives on my contract with that.
Dude, kidding me. It's like, if you can do X, Y, and Z in 35 minutes, boom. And it's like, I cannot, but I will try.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
Speaking of challenge accepted, we're in week 16, pushing into week 16 of football. That means fantasy championships are probably this week, because most don't like to go into week 17 because of the whole sit starters and such. So where are you sitting at in your 6 leagues? How many finals did you make?
I made one final in my 6 leagues, and I should have made 2 because I didn't start Josh Allen and I started Aaron Rodgers. I lost by 3 points. My lineup on my bench, I had Josh Allen. I also had Antonio Brown. I could have slotted in Brown for Tyler Lockett because, you know, he loves to disappear whenever I need him. Disappear whenever I need him. And Aaron Rodgers decided, all I needed was Rodgers to, like, rush for a bit more or just throw an extra touchdown here or there. Rodgers had a great matchup, and I just don't know what I needed to do.
Yeah. I mean, quick disclaimer, public service announcement. I love Josh Allen.
Oh, I love Josh Allen, too. That dude's won me so many matchups this year. I'm mad because the thing is, that one league that Kareem Hunt ripped my heart out in, I was the top scorer this week in the 3rd place game. Same thing happened last year. I'm cursed.
Yeah. Josh Allen saved me in my consolation bracket of 4 guys this week scoring 3 points or less.
That is gross.
Yeah, it was not a good time. And it also wasn't a good time watching 3 Bills touchdowns get called back from penalties. So Josh Allen could have dropped me 40, but I'll take 37.5, I guess.
It would have really hurt for me. Because Cam Akers had a touchdown called back against the Jets for like a holding or something.
Oh, that's right.
And I won that matchup by 6 points. If I would have lost by more than, if I would have lost in by less than 6, I would have tilted, full tilt.
Yeah, like, who needs but to I ended hold up winning, the Jets?
So I can't complain.
Come on,
dude.
Are you kidding me?
I was so just distraught. I was so distraught.
I but was.
Thankfully, Aaron Jones is built different.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm really glad we got together and talked you out of starting Derek Carr. Because I started Derek Carr and somehow still got the win. So luckily, in my Yahoo League, we don't have playoffs. We just have overall record at the end of week 17 wins the league, which is like fine. I mean, like it's kind of, it's an interesting way. But I started Derek Carr, got half a point out of him, and my defensive players, who that's actually interesting. I kind of want to get into that the offseason, like defenses versus defensive players. Like Devin White dropped me 20.5. Joe Schobert's been dropping me like 12 each week. So like my, I think I have like the three best defensive players like in the league right now. I got TJ Watt, Joe Schobert, and Devin White. For some reason, Devin White was in the free agency. So thanks. But yeah, like if you had started Derek Carr, I'm sorry to anyone listening who started Derek Carr. It's just an unforeseen thing. And it's kind of been the season in a nutshell that man pulled his groin trying to run to the sideline.
The funniest part about that whole sequence was I had just gotten off work and I had Carr in my lineup like all week. I was like, you know what? Because this is before the Saints announced that Taysom Hill wasn't going to be starting against the Chiefs. So I had Derek Carr in there because he balled out the week before. And I was like, you know what? Whatever. And then I was sitting there and I'm like, Taysom Hill is projecting higher and I like his upside. So I threw Taysom Hill in there. And then the whole question was, do I drop Derek Carr to pick up another quarterback? Granted, this league is a six-team league. It's me and some buddies. It's a money league just for shits and giggles. But Ryan Tannehill's on the waiver wire. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, I'm going to drop Carr and pick up Tannehill. I did that. Next morning, Taysom Hill no longer starting. So I slot in Ryan Tannehill, and I drop Taysom Hill for, I think, Jalen Hurts. Needless to say, whichever quarterback I started this week, thank God. I needed somebody to outplay Mahomes, and I got it.
Yeah. Speaking of outplaying, if you didn't listen to us last week, whether you just didn't listen to the podcast or you chose to ignore our advice, I told you that Brandon Ayuk was a playoff winner. Brandon Ayuk, against the Dallas Cowboys, saw 13 targets, which is by far the most on the team, next to Richie James, and next in line, who had 7. Brandon Ayuk got 9 receptions for 73 yards and a touchdown. I am once again telling you, if you're in your championship, play Brandon Ayuk. This man is the only man that Nick Mullins looks at.
Yeah. Do you blame him?
No.
His other weapons are like, what, Raheem Mostert's ghost, the shade of Vernon Davis. Like, he's got nothing. That team is decimated.
I mean, I guarantee you he tries to target Kittle on the sideline.
Oh, yeah. Like Paul George passing to a ref last night.
That's messed up. Talk about poor Paul George like that.
Playoff P.
Tony Pollard had a great game in Zeke's absence. He scored 2 touchdowns against the Dallas Cowboys. My advice would be if Zeke is out again, even against the Philadelphia Eagles, I would run Tony Pollard out there if you're desperate for a running back. Miles Gaskin, if you haven't been paying attention, just got taken off the COVID list. He's going against the Raiders, who the Raiders have given up the most rushing touchdowns, so start Miles Gaskin.
Cam Akers is actually out this week, so if you have either Henderson or Brown, you could see an uptick in their production. I'd probably side with Malcolm Brown. He was their early guy this year, and I think with their matchups moving forward, they'll probably need a more of a power run scheme. So if you've got Malcolm Brown stashed, he could actually pay off a bit because he's going to get those goal line rushes.
Yeah, for sure. Even Devin Singletary had a good game against the Broncos. I'm not sure who the Bills play this week. I think they play New England, so never mind. Devin Singletary probably isn't the play. Josh Allen's always the play.
Derrick Henry, an absolute unit.
Derrick Henry, possible MVP.
He's the Undertaker in terms of fantasy playoffs. He always shows up. He never loses. It doesn't matter if your team loses. Derrick Henry was not a reason for it. I saw people complaining about Derrick Henry getting 140-something yards and a touchdown this week on Twitter, and I'm like, shut the hell up. Your team lost because you suck at fantasy, not because Derrick Henry didn't do enough.
I would just tweet it back, but you know what Saquon Barkley got me this week? Yep. Don't want to hear it.
It's okay, Saquon. I still love you, buddy.
I still love you too, Saquon, but I'm not drafting you in the first round.
can't do it.
I just can't. But that's a topic for the offseason. So who else? I mean, this is a critical time of the year. You're playing for money, you're playing for pride, you're playing for bragging rights. I mean, who else is a streamer this week?
I know DeAndre Swift won't be a streamer just because of his availability in leagues. But DeAndre Swift, man, it's not even Matt Patricia anymore. If the Lions head coach can get out of his way, DeAndre Swift is going to be special. He is dynamic. He can catch out of the backfield. He's quick. He can run through people. I like him a lot. But waiver wire guys, currently, he might not be now, but start of the week, he was on less than 50% of ESPN rosters. Jalen Hurts. Rest of season, he could be a top 10 fantasy quarterback. The way he's running the ball, it's Lamar-esque to last year.
I mean, man, if you have, like, a QB with a bad matchup this week,
plug in Jalen. What do you have to lose?
He might torch Dallas. He might absolutely just torch him.
He might get you 30, but I don't think he gets you less than 15, unless he is god-awful. Because that Eagles team is playing extremely well for that guy.
Yeah, like, the Cowboys' defense, like, okay, so even, I can't even say the Dallas defense has even played well. Like, they still gave up 33 to the Niners, despite, I'm pretty sure they still had a defensive touchdown or a decent amount of turnovers. Like, I just think, even if Jalen were to turn over the ball or if anybody were to fumble the ball, I think Jalen can absolutely be a league winner this week against mm-hmm. the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And Derrick Henry's going to torch the Packers. The Browns defense, anybody playing against the Jets, the Browns defense
I've
might still be.
I've got that queued up. Oh, yeah.
You're in a weird one, though. Like, man.
See, what I'm doing, so I've had the Colts, like, all year. I dropped Bucks defense 2 weeks ago to pick up Seattle's defense, who I ran the last 2 weeks. And then I dropped Seattle. I actually picked up the Rams for this week. That we just had. Rams really let me down against the Jets. What are the odds of the Jets beating up my defense 2 weeks in a row? You're telling me Sam Donald's going to survive Aaron Donald and Myles Garrett in back-to-back weeks? No. Not going to happen. So, drop that Rams defense. Slot me right in with the Browns defense. And guess what happens in week 17, Austin? Because I'm in a two-week playoff matchup.
Oh, shit.
For this championship. The Colts are playing the Jags. And I can promise you one thing is Jacksonville's not trying to win a game for the next 2 weeks. And
but,
if they do,
but,
they will get the fuck Dustin May of the award of the year.
But
mm-hmm.
Jacksonville's one win, who is it against?
If they have the number one overall pick going in to week 17, they will start Kyle Allen in a wheelchair. They will not field a winning team. The Jets shouldn't have started Sam Darnold against the Rams. Don't know what they're doing. Like, I get it. Tanking's bad. But you have the likes of John Elway, Peyton Manning, and Andrew Luck. He may not pan out to be that. That's really lofty expectations. But Jesus, this doesn't happen all the time. Whenever the second best guy coming out of this draft is Justin Fields, you, not saying Justin Fields is bad, but you don't want to be on the wrong side of that pick.
So you're saying, without a shadow of a doubt, the Jaguars would take Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, more so than the Jets. You think Gardner Minshew is the answer? No offense to Minshew Mania, but he's not. If Mitch Trubisky isn't a starter in the NFL, Gardner Minshew is not. He was a great story last year. He put up some decent numbers, but he is not an NFL caliber starting quarterback. He's like Baker Mayfield when you're hungry.
Hulu has live sports.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Gardner Minshew reminds me of just if Baker Mayfield was Budweiser, Gardner Minshew's Bud Light. Bud Light Lime, to be exact.
By the way, this podcast is not sponsored by Hulu, Bud Light, or Budweiser, but if any of y'all are listening, it could be.
So hear me out. Baker Mayfield is indeterminate beer, and Gardner Minshew is indeterminate light beer lime flavoring.
There we go. Now we won't get redacted. Safe.
Redacted.
Yeah, I just you can be. I don't care who you are. If Trevor Lawrence is on the board, draft the guy. You could trade him. Like, why don't you draft him? The Colts had Peyton Manning on their roster, and they drafted Andrew Luck. Granted, everyone thought Peyton was dead, but, you know, it's you only get the opportunity once in a while.
So,
if you get into good enough player, you won't be in that position the following years.
So does that lead to the Jets taking Justin Fields? Or do they take a skill position?
If I'm the if the Jets take Justin Fields at number two, I can't defend the pick. Justin Fields is probably going to be a good NFL quarterback. He should fit the mold of a dual threat, in my opinion. But the Jets are bad. I think Trevor Lawrence at number one for the Jets, yeah, I can defend that pick because he's won at every level. He's a field general. He can throw the ball. He can run the ball. He's a transformative talent. With Justin Fields, he has a lot of things to overcome in the NFL, like just Ohio State quarterbacks in general over the years. But if I'm the Jets and it's between Justin Fields and trading down to pick up some future firsts or something, I would definitely trade down. Not saying Justin Fields is a bad quarterback, but I think you're better off rolling Darnold out there. And if you're bad, you're bad. And look for a quarterback in the next couple years. Because I don't think Darnold's bad. I do not think Darnold's that bad. He hasn't been good this year, but he's not garbage. No one's helping him in New York.
Also on the topic of streamlined fantasy plays for your championship, I know tight end's been a real tough position this year. And if you're in the championship series, you probably have been running Kelce or Waller all year, or maybe even Bob Tonyan, as he's gotten a decent amount of touchdowns. But I'm going to stick my neck out one last time for this man. And I think Zach Ertz can get you points this week. If Jalen Hurts can light up the Dallas Cowboys, which I think he will, I'm not going to say Dallas is going to win or lose. I'm not going to say Philly's going to win or lose because divisional games just never make sense. Ever.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I still think it could be a high-scoring game. And I think Zach Ertz, to set the bar extremely low, Zach Ertz could be a top 10, maybe top 5 tight end on the week. Or Dallas Goedert. That offense is weird on where they would want to throw to Goddard or Ertz, but I think either one of those guys can get you a lot of points in the tight end spot if you're not running Kelce or Waller, basically the top two tight ends of the league. But other than that, JD McKissick, if you're desperate for a running back, might be a good play if Antonio Gibson is out. Antonio Gibson was limited to today in practice as of today's date being the 23rd of December, so he's still got a couple more practices left, so we'll see about that. Other than that, I think most plays are what you've been doing to get you to the finals. Stick with it.
If you're in the final, start your studs. 100%. If you are questioning taking out a guy that has got you to the championship because of a bad matchup and you have somebody on your bench that has a good matchup, but he's not some sort of like world beater, start your studs. Stick with what got you there, because you're going to feel a lot worse if you have a stud on your bench that dropped 20 points and you have the guy that you put in over him dropping 5. And if it's the inverse, you live with it. It's the game. It's how it works.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and get cute and start DeAndre Swift over Aaron Jones. It's just not how it's going to work out. I'm not going to start Justin Jefferson over DeAndre Hopkins, and that's even like a better comparison, because Jefferson is a stud. Yeah. If you have him, more power to you. But if you're debating between rookie wide receivers having a great year or a top 3 player in the game, don't get cute with it.
Yeah, just run the guys who got you there, your first rounder, second rounder, third rounder, if they you know didn't die this year.
But if Taysom Hill is one of the reasons why you got to the fantasy championships, scramble like hell and fight a quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Do not start
because
Taysom Hill.
That's what I did.
He's not even a tight
Unless
end in ESPN.
He's got tight end designation.
I'm waiting for it. I picked him. So it's kind of funny. So I'm in a two-week consolation fifth place game, you know, just for pride at this point, to be like, I was the best bad team. And I picked up Taysom Hill just to see if he gets his tight end designation back either week 16 or 17. Or he might just start week 17 because the Saints will already be in the playoffs. So we'll see what happens. But other than that, fantasy is coming to an end. So a lot of people's stress levels is going to go down. And then if your team is in the playoffs, they'll go back up. But for someone like me, I'll just wait until the draft and see if the Cowboys can pick up a lockdown corner from Alabama. I forget his name, but hopefully, you know, we can snatch him. Byron Jones, I miss you so much. Please come back. But with that, we're going to jump into week 15. Not a whole lot of splits between me and Devin last week. We both went 11-4, so we'll just get right into it. But I'll let you talk about Thursday night.
Okay, so Charger Nation, I'm sorry. My buddy Derek and I were talking a bit during the game, and he was like, "I get your reasoning as to why you picked the Raiders. But come on, man, you can't pick the Raiders." And I'm like, "You know what? You're right, man. I let myself down last week, and for good measure. But my team won. I'm happy about that. And holy shit, the Raiders are not a bad team, but they are not good right now." They are spiraling. This was supposed to be, what, the sixth seed in the playoffs for the AFC? That's what it was looking like, five or six for the Raiders?
This team beat the Chiefs.
They are on a nosedive. It's like, it's bad. And it's not even like Derek Carr's fault. I don't know what's going on. Their defense is just hemorrhaging points.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the Chargers offense is bad, but we have Anthony Lynn calling plays. So,
I'm not going to sit here and say the Raiders win that game with Derek Carr. Mariota, we talked about, you know, 10 minutes ago. Mariota played a great game for, you know, not playing for a while. And kind of, they had a good scheme with him. He got a good rushing amount. I'm pretty sure he was the leading rusher. Yeah, 9 carries, 88 yards, and a touchdown. He played a good game, but Justin Herbert just played better. Justin Herbert went 22 for 32, 314, 2 TDs. His next passing TD breaks the rookie record. So, the Raiders are probably out of it at this point.
Yeah, they need a lot of things to break their way that I just don't see happening.
Yeah, it's just,
I think of any team that's on the outside looking in right now, Baltimore's got the best shot. And they are the team I think that's going to take the, it's the 8 seed, right? Or the 7 seed. 7, right?
Yeah, 7.
Yeah, I think Baltimore sneaks in and grabs that. I think the Raiders really just, they flushed it. Their season is now basically done. They started out crazy. They dominated their division for the most part, and the wheels are just falling off. And that's kind of the problem you have with some seasons.
Yeah, that's just, I don't know. They gotta find a way to get the defensive scheme in the right spot. Because, honestly, they didn't even make the Chiefs look bad. They made the Chiefs' defense look kind of bad, but Mahomes still put up 40 points on them.
Yeah.
You know, Mahomes just got outscored one game, and he has one loss. So,
yep.
Speaking of putting up 40 points, the Buffalo Bills, 48, the Broncos, 19. Josh Allen absolutely just torches Denver, and it wasn't even close. It was never close.
He just gets better each and every week. It's insane.
Buffalo is really starting to convince me that this team can beat anybody. Like, I remember we talked about them against Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's defense can be a little spooky. Scheme tore up that defense. Denver's put up good defensive games this year. Their scheme, the Bills' offensive scheme, destroyed that defense. Like, their schemes are, if they can fix their penalty issues, because they got, on the same drive, 3 touchdowns called back, if they can fix their penalty issues, I think that team could go to the Super Bowl. I don't think they will. Maybe I'll see how I feel when playoff predictions come around and who they're playing, but this team can beat anybody right now. They're hot.
Oh, yeah.
They are hot.
They're They're peaking at the right time. And the thing with the Bills is, if you want to beat the Chiefs, there's two ways to do it. Your defense has to show up, your offense has to just outplay them. And the Bills have the pieces on defense to compete and try and slow down Mahomes. But on offense, they have an amalgamation of talent that it's not better than Kansas City, but it's not far off. You've got the combination of Singletary and Moss. You've got Beasley, Knox, Stephon Diggs. You've got a number of talented offensive pieces on that offense. And if Josh Allen's not turning the ball over, they're a tough team to beat, especially if they have momentum going into the playoffs.
Yeah, and even the run game didn't look too bad either. And I'm not even talking about Josh Allen's run game. Like, I think Josh Allen put up like a 20-yard touchdown, but like Moss and Singletary put up good runs.
Fun fact, I saw it on it was somewhere on Twitter. I think it was probably Bleacher Report or somewhere, but there are only two quarterbacks in NFL history to have thrown for more than 30 touchdown passes and rushed for 8+. Josh Allen and Cam Newton. And Cam Newton did that in 2015 during his MVP year. Not saying Josh Allen's the MVP. I think if it's a different year, he probably wins it. But he's not even in the top three currently, which is really weird to say.
Yeah. Top five probably, but top three?
He's top four. I'd give him number four.
Okay.
I think Russ hasn't done enough since his implosion to claim anything over number five.
But, man, MVP is getting close too.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rodgers, Mahomes, and it's Derrick Henry. Like, Derrick Henry is a world beater.
Yeah.
And that man, I'm not going to make, like, this super hot prediction and say he's going to break the rushing record Sunday night. But that if that Green Bay defense is that bad, that man could absolutely just put up 300 yards like it's nobody's business.
I think the maximum he gets in this coming week is maybe 220. There's no way he puts up 300 on that defense. These are grown professionals, and I would, if he does it, more power to him, but that would be extremely hard against an NFL defense.
Yeah.
Because that kid from Ohio State put up like 331 yards. But
what's the single game record that AP put up? Is it like
296?
296.
I think most rushing yards
when he was a Viking.
Viking, yeah. Yes, Adrian Peterson owns the single game rushing record, 296 yards against the San Diego Chargers in 2007.
Oh, no. That team doesn't exist anymore, so it's fine. It doesn't really matter.
I miss them. But yeah, no, it's. I think he hits 215 at the best, maybe 230, but I don't see 296 or more from him.
I'm really excited to see. I think after this week, going into week 17, I could feel like I could definitively tell you who the MVP will be. Because Tennessee's secondary is not good. Green Bay's rush defense is not good. So it's Tennessee and Green Bay going at it. We'll get to that game in a little bit, but they're going to be going at it. It's just going to be two MVP candidates going at it. We'll see who KC goes against in a little bit. So I think after week 16, I'll be able to tell you who is going to win MVP. I will make that prediction.
Barring, in my opinion, speaking of other MVP candidates, we're looking at the Green Bay Packers against the Carolina Panthers on Saturday night. And I'll say it right now, my MVP pick is Aaron Rodgers. And unless he implodes this coming week against the Titans and just puts up a Buccaneers performance again, I don't know how he loses it unless Derrick Henry breaks the rushing record or Mahomes beats him out by like 1,000 yards in passing yards and he closes some of the gaps in the other stats.
Well, so the thing is, what happened against Carolina is that Aaron Jones had a big game.
And so, it's not even like Rodgers had a bad game, and that's the biggest part. Rodgers had a good game.
20 for 29, 143 and a touchdown, and I think he had a rushing touchdown as well.
He had a rushing touchdown. He had a relatively good game. He just didn't have the yards.
Yeah, but and to be under 150 and only throw for one touchdown when you are the leader in throwing touchdowns, you didn't have a bad game, but I don't think he can do that again and then win MVP.
Yeah, 100%. But I think it, in a weird way, it strengthens his case because he has 40 touchdown passes and he just had a game where he threw one. He's been unreal this year. I'm pretty sure he's leading the league in touchdowns by at least 4 or 5.
Yeah, but Carolina sucks. Hasn't Carolina lost like 9 in a row or some stupid number like that? Carolina sucks. The offense the best running back runs through Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. But all I'm saying is I think, especially after Mahomes' performance against, who did they play before New Orleans? The Raiders?
Let's see.
Yeah, I think it was the Raiders.
Week 14, they beat up.
Yeah.
The Dolphins. It was the Mahomes 3-pick
Dolphins
game.
I know Mahomes won that game, but after you throw 3 picks in one game, that's a way bigger hit to your MVP case than Rodgers just not throwing for 300 yards a single night.
But to possess the talent to win a game where you throw 3 picks is
also
kind of good.
Before we crown Patrick Mahomes as the coming of football Jesus, we got to look at the facts. Okay. I'm not saying it's Patrick Mahomes' fault that he has one of the best offensive weaponries I've seen in the modern NFL. Granted, it's not the greatest show on turf, but sweet God. Can we just talk about the fact that this guy has the wealthiest of wealthy offenses in the league? He has a top 5 receiver. Granted, could be top 3 depending on who you're talking to. He has Tyreek Hill. The best tight end in football in Travis Kelce. The thing with the Chiefs is the number 2 receiver and the number 3 receiver for the Chiefs could be the wide receiver 2 on the Packers. And it's not close. The wide receiver 4 for the Chiefs could be the wide receiver 2 for the Packers. And that's no offense to MVS and Lazard, but they're not those guys.
Well, the thing about KC defense is you got Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, and Sammy Watkins. I can't think of a 4th receiver.
DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle. They've got like 5 or 6 dudes deep that can burn you and score touchdowns.
That's what I'm saying. It's like their offense is based around dudes that are just burners that can absolutely just cheetah their way through a field. And Mahomes is like, yeah, I just throw it over for 80 yards and they catch it because they burn everybody. Like that offense is literally just speed kills. It's insane.
If you give... My thing is, Rodgers has the arm to do that. His stats, like looking at them on deep balls, are great. Like, he's really good at it.
I don't know. One more week. One more week, and we'll get back into this MVP discussion. Because I need to see one more stat week. Tom Brady does it to Atlanta again.
He had to do it to him.
31 points in the second half. I don't know, man.
It's the ghost of Dan Snyder. It's my favorite horror movie over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Wait,
you
Dan
can't
Snyder?
Escape it.
What you mean, Dan Quinn?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Both Dans are fucked up.
Yeah, both Dans are terrible people, but...
Dan Quinn, your bald head just exudes. I feel like it absorbs all the negative energy from the NFL. But yeah, Tampa Bay is, doing their best midlife crisis impersonation. They're like, hey, guys, we're still good, right? Yeah. You guys like us, right?
Guys, look, playoffs. We're here. We're leaving, but we're here. We were.
Yeah. The Falcons need to figure it out. My buddy Derek floated me an idea that if Jacksonville has the number 1 pick, do they trade down to number 4 with Atlanta for a package of like Matt Ryan, the 4th pick, a future first, a future second, and I think That was the that was it. But I was like, if you can get a second first rounder on top of the fourth overall pick, and Matt Ryan, if you're Jacksonville, give me it.
Trevor
give me
Lawrence
it.
In Atlanta, ooh,
that would be
Calvin
gross.
Ridley, Todd Gurley,
Julio Jones, Russell Gage.
I think out of nowhere, Julio Jones would be a healthy man who plays 16 games.
Oh,
I'd bet
dude,
money on
gross.
It. I'd bet money on it.
I would be scared. I would be genuinely frightened.
Just JJ has to walk up to him and be like, hey, man, when we get 20 yards within the end zone, just look my way. Because Matt Ryan hasn't done it for years.
Like, look what happened with AJ Green whenever Joe Burrow rolled into town. He's like, hey, man, I'll just tape my ankle. Let's go.
Oh, we're good all of a sudden. And then Joe Mixon got, you know, AJ Greenitis.
Yeah.
He's like, we're losing? Yeah, my foot still hurts.
Yeah, I got it. I sprained it. Yeah, I sprained it again. I didn't move, but it's sprained. But yeah.
Speaking of sprained, both these teams play like they're sprained. The San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys, they're both 5-9 now. Dallas puts up 41. San Francisco drops 33. Both these teams are bad. I don't care what the score tells me.
I would equate this to this game was basically like watching a newborn try to walk. There was a purpose to it, but it wasn't super effective or efficient, and the end result was just kind of what it was.
I mean, the Niners tried to kick an onside kick, and then CeeDee Lamb grabs it and takes it for a 47-yard touchdown. That's just the Niners season in a nutshell. And then after that, with 34 seconds, oh, hold on, it gets better. It gets even better. That kickoff, that onside kick into a touchdown is the Niners season in a nutshell. Then with 34 seconds left, down 15 points, the Niners score a touchdown in 34 seconds. That's the Cowboys season in a nutshell. Both these teams suck.
You know what's the funniest part?
What?
Through all the stuff that Dallas is going through, the Zekeification of your running back, dude, Zeke, he's getting torched. People don't think he's good anymore. And I'm not going to say he's bad, but if you look at the stats, he's not looking as explosive, but that's for a different time. But even after Dak blows his ankle, you guys are secretly having one of the best onside kick seasons ever.
We are. We really are.
You guys won that game against the Falcons because they just didn't touch the ball. They're like, I'm not touching it. Are you touching it? And now you guys got an onside kick touchdown return. Like, you guys are on fire whenever it comes. I would just ask for an onside kick every time down the field.
Yeah.
Just be like, dude, like, don't be weird. Please.
Like, it'll give them good field position. Like, what are you doing? They won't even touch it. It's like this mind trick.
Yeah.
And then it'll be 2nd and 10, and Mike McCarthy will run the ball. Anyways. Speaking of running the ball, the Tennessee Titans, 46. The Lions, 25. Derrick Henry, 24 carries, 147 yards, and a touchdown. Ryan Tannehill. Ryan
five
Tannehill.
Or four. He had four or five, right?
I'm pretty sure he had five. Let me
Ryan
let me...
Tannehill, you beautiful specimen. I just want to say thank you to Adam Gase for freeing that poor bastard.
Oh, man.
Man. That's right. Crazy. Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback in fantasy that you don't want to start, but you start him and he gets you 37 points. And you're like, wow, I don't know why I ever doubted you. He's so – I saw a graphic. He's last 24 starts, he has a higher completion percentage than Patrick Mahomes, more touchdowns than Patrick Mahomes, a higher quarterback rate than Patrick Mahomes, and identical interceptions. I'm not saying Ryan Tannehill is as good as Mahomes,
but
statistically they're similar.
I mean,
granted, Mahomes doesn't have a defensive end rushing for 200 yards per game, but
I mean, what you and I were talking about, oh, should I start Taysom Hill or Derek Carr? I was like, you should probably start Derek Carr, but in the end, I told you to go with your gut. You kept Taysom Hill, picked up Ryan Tannehill just in case Taysom Hill wasn't starting. Taysom Hill didn't start, and the fantasy football god said, here's your reward for picking up Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, legit. If Tannehill would have done it, I would have been like, I don't know what I have to do. Do I have to sacrifice a goat? Just kidding. We do not condone animal sacrifices on the podcast. But, like, come on. Like, especially after my defense cost me a championship again. Like, I needed something to just keep me from just ending all of my fantasy forever. Just committing fantasy suicide and deleting the apps.
I've just been streaming Buffalo defense for like the past 4 weeks, and it's worked out great. Thank God they found their way.
I've made the championship I've made a championship in each, at least in one league per my first 3 years playing fantasy, and I plan on keeping that streak forever. So I'm going to have 45 leagues next year.
Oh, okay.
Cast a wide net, you're going to get a fish once in a while.
Oh, man. The Colts beat the Texans 27-20. Kiki Kuti. Not Kevin.
Kiki Butterfinger Kuti.
Kiki. Yeah. One more time. Kiki.
Like the Drake song.
Yeah. Kiki, do you love me? Ask the Texans.
Deshaun Watson does not love him at all.
Kiki doesn't love
Deshaun
him.
Deshaun Watson's like. Deshaun Watson's that meme where it's like, I'm tired of fumbling with the game on the line. And then just Bill O'Brien's ghost is just like, you know, like a force ghost from like episode 6 of Star Wars. It's Bill O'Brien in the distance saying, well, that's too damn bad.
Kiki Kuti.
Poor Deshaun Watson.
Fumbles the ball at the 2-yard line at the last second. Indianapolis recovers and Indianapolis sneaks out with a win. That's the Texans season in a nutshell. That's the Colts. I wouldn't say that's a Colts season in a nutshell. I mean, their defense stepped up in the right time. They forced that fumble. So I guess you could say that's a Colts season in a nutshell, but I wouldn't say the Colts have been lucky. They've just played really well on defense. Speaking of defense, Miami's 9-5 as they beat the Patriots. The Patriots are out of the playoffs for the first time since 2008. Cam went 17 for 27 and 209 yards, rushed 9 times for 38 yards. I mean, he didn't turn the ball over, but he just didn't play well enough. I mean,
the thing with Cam, they've already packed his bags. He's going somewhere else in the offseason. There's no way he's staying there. He could throw for 35 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks of the year, and they'd still be like, no. Get him away.
Yeah,
Cam Newton's a backup quarterback until proven otherwise.
Man, if there's two people I want to see have starting jobs next season to have one more chance, it's Jimbo and Cam.
I want Jimbo and Mariota. I think he's. I think he's cooked. Like, he could be a serviceable backup, but you cannot be running Cam Newton out there every single week.
But aren't Cam and Mariota the same person?
Not at all. Not at all.
They're just big dudes.
Like, I get what you're saying. Mariota's nowhere near Cam Newton's size.
Cam Newton's huge.
Cam's a runner, but he's physical. Mariota's shifty. Mariota's tiny compared to Cam Newton. I look at Mariota more as like a Russ-type deal. Body wise, he's a little bit taller, but he's like same build. You're not gonna do a quarterback draw from the five to try and win a game with Marcus Mariota.
True, you can with Cam Newton.
Cam Newton's built like Donovan McNabb, but like juiced.
Well, so here's the thing. Here's why I say Cam gets one more try.
Okay.
What went right in the first few weeks of the season for Cam? Because let's see here. I'm just going to go back. They beat the Dolphins 21-11. Now, maybe the Dolphins weren't, you know, quite as ready yet, but Cam rushes for 2 touchdowns. Okay. Week 2. Okay. They play that game against the Seahawks, and, you know, they get that. They try to run the QB draw at the last, you know, last drive, and Seattle stuffs it. But it worked at the goal line every time they did it up until that moment. So yeah. I don't blame that on Cam. Cam put up 30 points on an offense, and he almost beat him again.
Mm-hmm.
Week 3, he beats the Raiders 36-20. I'm pretty sure. Let's see what his rushing stats were, because that was mostly his years. He had good rushing stats up until he started faltering. Let's see. 9 rushes for 27 yards, so not much there. But how did he do? Let's 17 for 28, a touchdown, 162 an interception, so not awful, but like pretty mediocre. Let's see, is week 4 the Niners game where it all fell apart? No, they lose to the Chiefs. Okay, Cam didn't play that week; he had COVID.
That's the thing. That's the conduit. That is the catalyst. Cam Newton was good. He was serviceable for the first 4 weeks of the year.
Till he got COVID.
COVID, COVID killed his season. I'm not going to lie. He hasn't been the same player. But the thing is, at the same time, Belichick was protecting him. They had a lot of runs. They were running the ball a whole lot. And Cam has not beaten a single team with his arm since 2018. If that. Cam's, whatever he did to hurt himself in the past, his arm is not the same.
Well, wasn't it a shoulder injury last year, or was it a foot injury?
Liz Frank. That was his injury last year. The year before, I think he hurt his shoulder. But his arm is not what it used to be.
Well, and I mean, it's before clear. Before the Patriots, he played like what, 3 games in 2 years? He didn't play a lot.
Like, it's not that Cam Newton's a bad player. It's that Cam Newton's a bad player right now.
Hear me out.
And I don't see him. Mm-hmm.
Hear me out. Cam Newton as a San Francisco 49er would make the playoffs. Let me tell you why.
No.
Let me tell you why. Mm-mm. Let me argue my case. Just hang on.
Okay.
Debo Samuel.
You're right.
Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Richie James, Raheem Mostert, and the merry men of running backs that San Francisco has. They have a great run game. They have playmakers, and he doesn't have to throw the ball beyond 10 yards because Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have to throw the ball beyond 10 yards. And Cam Newton is more of an athlete than Jimmy Garoppolo is. And you open up the run game. I guess the run game's already good, but to open up the quarterback running game with Cam Newton, I think Cam would succeed. Like, obviously, a lot of quarterbacks might be able to succeed in that offense because of the playmakers mm-hmm. they have, and you just got to make accurate short throws. But that's kind of Cam's game. Cam makes good short throws. At least he used to.
Can't. I've watched about 3 or 4 Patriots games this year, and the only game that I watched where I thought, wow, Cam's throwing the ball decently was Seattle. I watched him get mutilated by the San Francisco defense.
Yeah.
He is short hopping hitches. This is a 8-yard progression. He's short hopping a hitch. It's one thing if he's overthrowing a streak here and there, but he's bouncing balls at people's feet. And in an offense like San Francisco, these are going to be quick reads. He couldn't throw a screen pass against the Rams. Granted, Aaron Donald held the running backs. That was smart on Donald's part. Really good heads up play. I would rather have someone that can't run for the Niners quarterback spot. You throw in a Matthew Stafford. You throw in someone. I take Stafford over Newton any day of the week. I just don't think if you want to be competitive and making the playoffs and winning games and playing meaningful football, Cam Newton cannot be your quarterback. You would have to have literally Cam Newton's Super Bowl run is the perfect storm. He had an amazing defense. He had weapons. I mean, he had a great offense. But if you're not surrounding Cam Newton with a top defense in the league and at least a top 15 offense, you're not doing it. And yes, the Niners would be a great spot to see if it would work, but their team is not built to see if things are going to work. You need someone in there that's going to help that team win right now, because if it doesn't win within the next 3 years, something's got to give. Because they're giving a lot of money to a lot of guys, and not everyone's getting paid on that roster.
Yeah, and the Patriots didn't pay Cam a lot of money, so it wouldn't surprise me if they just foregoed and got somebody else. But at this point, I don't care who you throw at quarterback for the Patriots. You got to give somebody weapons. You got to give your quarterback something. Like, I'm not gonna tell you Cam's not succeeding because he doesn't have weapons, but whoever quarterbacks that team needs some help. Granted, a lot of their defense opted out, so that could be a big thing. Tom Brady got really carried by the defense last year, or it might have been the year before, but he got carried by that defense. He was still an okay quarterback, but if Cam had the defense that Brady had, he might have had a chance, but Cam doesn't have weapons. Cam doesn't have a defense. I don't think he was set up for failure. Like, he's played really bad at times, and he's played really well at times. I just would like to know what worked. Like, I don't want to blame it on Corona. Like, but to be fair, we don't know a whole lot about Corona.
Yeah.
And I guess there's been like injury rumors about Cam, and obviously when you ask him, he's like, I feel fine. Obviously he could be in a lot of fucking pain.
Yeah. I'm not attacking Cam Newton the person. I just, from what I've seen on the field, I'm not going to say he's going to retire, but if I were running a team, I would not want him to start for my football team. And that's just the sad reality. So that's kind of how it goes, especially in the NFL. Your career is only as long as the front offices are going to let it be.
Yeah.
And it happens a lot more with running backs, but we'll see it with these rushing quarterbacks. Whenever the arm goes, and you can't, especially with the new age type quarterbacks like Mahomes and people that are throwing for 400 yards a game and 2-3 scores. If you can't keep up that pace, you're not going to win the game.
Yeah, the game. I mean, it's just like any other sport. The era changes quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, you're not that type of quarterback, or you're not that type of running back, whatever it is, whatever the era changes to, then you're going to fail. Like, I can get into baseball about it, but that's another topic for another time. Speaking of bad quarterbacks, the Bears beat the Vikings 33-27. Justin Jefferson screamed out, fuck Kirk, when he got overthrown in the end zone. I don't think it means anything. I just found it funny.
Yeah, it was funny. The Bears might extend Mitch Trubisky. Let's see how this plays out for the rest of the year. But, man, Mitch Trubisky really just finds the perfect times to ball out.
David Montgomery's a bell cow. 32 carries, a buck 46, D-Mont, and 2 touchdowns. Man, man.
He's the number one running back in fantasy the past 4 weeks.
Yeah.
He, as soon as Cohen went out, I was like, guys, hear me out. He's not going to be the most efficient running back. He's not going to be the best running back. But, by God, is he going to be an RB1? Might not get you the 20 points every week. But he is going to have volume out the ass. And, man, it feels good that it's finally paying off.
Yeah. I don't have a segue for this one. The Seahawks beat the football team. I almost got redacted there. 20-15. I had picked Washington because I forgot Dwayne Haskins was starting. And then Dwayne Haskins likes going to strip clubs maskless, apparently.
I think Dwayne Haskins forgot he was starting after Sunday.
Yeah.
He was like, okay, we lost. Strippers.
When you have to have Dwayne Haskins throw the ball 55 times, it's not a recipe for success. 38 nope. for 55, which isn't a bad completion percentage, to be honest. It's not the worst. But 295, a touchdown, 2 picks, that ain't it. It's not going to be, you know, you again, if you're throwing 55 times against that bad Seattle defense, you should be putting up like 350, 400 yards, honestly. I'm just going to say it. You should be doing way better than that if you're throwing the ball that many times.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Seattle locks up their playoff spot. The NFC East continues to kind of falter as the Dallas Cowboys are making a playoff push at 5-9. Ha ha. Speaking of playoff pushes, the Ravens slapped the Jacksonville Jaguars 40-14.
Tank for Trevor.
Yeah, tank for Trevor. Congrats, Jacksonville. We'll get to that in a second. Actually, the next game, speaking of tank for Trevor, the tank for Trevor for the Jets is over. The New York Jets,
Jets,
have beaten the Los Angeles Rams.
Sean McVay watched NFL Red Zone for 12 hours last week just to lose to Adam Gase. That's irony.
They scored 10 points in 3 quarters. The first 3 quarters, the Rams put up 10 points. What?
Football gods were tempting everybody. The Jets have scored on their first drive 8 straight games.
That's nuts.
Yeah, they are bad. But, like, man, I just think... I'm just going to say it. The Fuck Dustin May Award of the Week goes to Adam Gase. Greg Williams, he proverbially threw himself in front of a bus for you against the Raiders. You guys screwed the pooch. I don't know why Joe Flacco wasn't throwing the ball 65 times in this game. Because, oh my goodness, you guys suck. And the thing that helps whenever you suck is getting a high draft pick. and you had the highest pick in the draft. There was no one that could have beaten you. You had no wins. And what do you go and do? You let Frank Gore's corpse carry you to your first victory on the year. And if that's, I think it's just a Gaseism, an Adam Gaseism. It's to just, when everything's going right, you make it go wrong. So, famous Gaseisms include Ryan Tannehill, Kenyon Drake, soon to be Sam Darnold. If you had Gase in your life, the Gaseism will forgive you of your sins under Adam Gase, and you'll proceed to have plenty more. I think Adam Gase just kind of sold his football soul once he started to coach Peyton Manning. He was like, "Get me a ring, and I will just use this until I can't."
So for those who don't understand, so obviously if you follow football, you knew the Jets were 1-13, they're winning. You may say to yourself, "Hey, the Jets are 1-13, the Jags are 1-13. How do you determine who has the number one pick?" So the Jets have had a easier schedule than the Jacksonville Jaguars. So the Jacksonville Jaguars are expected to lose more often than the Jets are. So the Jets are losing to worse teams while the Jags are losing to better teams. So the Jags are expected to lose, and their strength of schedule is harder than the Jets. So the Jags are currently the number one pick based off their strength of schedule. Their schedule is harder than the Jets, so they should be losing more than the Jets. So that's why the Jets are currently at 2. So if Jacksonville finishes 1-15, which is honestly most likely going to happen, they will have the number one overall pick. And the Jets will have the number 2 overall pick. And they already fucked it up. They already fucked up the number 1 pick, and they'll probably fuck up the number 2 pick somehow. They'll probably have the number 2 pick. They'll just probably spend it on something bad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the other team in this game, the Rams.
They just played down to their opponent.
Obviously, you can't lose that game. You're in the middle of a playoff race to win your division, and now you have to win both your games if you want a shot at the division. You got a bad team at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
You could have been 10-4, and you could have been in control of your division, and you just chose not to. You just came back off your bye week. There's no excuse. Playing down to competition or not, there's no excuse to lose this game. You can't lose this game, especially with that defense. That defense, you tell me, couldn't hold down Sam Darnold and Frank Gore and Ty Johnson and Rashard Perryman. This makes sense. Rams fans are punching the air right now.
Texted my dad. I was like, I said, "What happened?" And he's just like, "We played down to the competition." And I'm like, "No, to be fair, as a Chargers fan, I know exactly how you feel." It runs in my family. Our team's letting 0-for teams get their first wins.
Yeah. Speaking of running, Jalen Hurts versus Kyler Murray. Those guys run a lot. The Cardinals were the better birds. They beat the Eagles 33-26. Philadelphia continues to suck, but Jalen Hurts continues to look really good. And it makes this whole Carson Wentz thing real interesting because it's just that Jalen Hurts goes 24-44, 338, 3 touchdowns. He rushes for even more. I don't know. I don't know what this offense is doing different than it was with Carson Wentz. Like, it all of a sudden it flows all of a sudden. I don't know what they're going to do with Carson Wentz. They have to dump a lot of money. Badly. Eagles are in a really shitty spot, to be honest with you. Even if they ran out Jalen Hurts next season, the money is going to fucking hurt.
Yeah, but they got to just basically get to the point where they can cut the tie. I think if they trade him, it's the best thing they can do. Get some assets back. But the cap hit's going to be hard regardless of how you look at it. So they need to figure it out. And if Hurts is the guy, you got to move on from Wentz. Because it's going to be a Band-Aid. It's going to hurt worse if you don't trade him, because then you're basically giving him all the guaranteed money. But if you trade him, then you take a portion of that money you have to give to him. But it's not like you have to pay out that full amount.
Yeah. So round out the last three games here so we can get to the pick-ems. The Chiefs beat the Saints 32-29.
That safety, that touchdown that should have been a safety needs to be talked about more because Mahomes and the Chiefs got off light.
The safety that should have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
That hurts so bad.
Saints should have won that game. Genuinely. If that flips the other way, then they win the game.
I don't know. I haven't like played on a professional football field, so I'm not going to sit here and be like, how do you not get that? But just like, there has to be a better way to secure that ball. There has to be.
It's a really hard play to make.
Yeah. I'll tell you what wasn't hard. The Browns beating the Giants. The Browns are making a push. So I want to quickly like merge these two games. So the Bengals beat the Steelers on Monday Night Football. And it's funny because we thought about recording Monday night during Monday Night Football and being like, yeah, the Steelers are probably going to win this game. I'm so glad we didn't because the Steelers look god awful. Ben looked awful. Juju looked awful. They all look awful. Ben is playing his age. And they play the Colts next week. And they play the Browns afterwards. After starting 11-0, the Steelers could lose this division and be in the wild card spot at 11-5.
I hope they do. It'd be the most Chargers thing to happen to a team that's not the Chargers in years.
I'm actually really excited to see how the AFC North pans out. It's going to be super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
The fun part's going to be seeing how Baltimore and Cleveland round out because they have some easy matchups. At least Baltimore does. They've got the New York Football Giants at Baltimore. So Baltimore's looking to finish strong. So we'll see how it pans out. But speaking of panning out, now we're going on to the Week 16 pick-ems. So starting off, we've got New Orleans and Minnesota.
That's too easy. New Orleans. Give
me New Orleans. Tampa Bay and Detroit in Detroit. I'm going Tampa Bay. They need the win because Detroit was eliminated from the playoffs this week, I'm pretty sure, with their loss. So Tampa shouldn't falter in Detroit. I just don't see it happening. They're not the best team in the NFC, but they got to be better than that.
Easily.
Then we're looking at Arizona SF in Arizona, so it's like a home game for both teams at this point. But Nick Mullins is not going to walk in to Chiefs Stadium, to the Cardinals Stadium and beat Kyler Murray right now. The Cardinals are in line to make the playoffs for the first time in years if they can have things break their way. And I just think Kyler Murray's pretty hot right now, and I don't think he's going to get stopped by that defense. Especially after the drudging by the Cowboys.
Yeah. No, Arizona should easily handle this game.
Then we've got Miami versus Las Vegas. Ooh, team me up a lot of that Miami Dolphins offense and defense because Raiders are in a tailspin and I don't see them recovering. Miami needs the win. The Raiders basically flush their playoff hopes away. If they beat Miami, it helps, but it's not going to guarantee them a spot. But if Miami wins, their spot is almost assured.
Yeah, with Tua playing well, he gets Miles Gaskin back. Miles Gaskin's going to be the bell cow for that game. Miles Gaskin is going to go against one of the worst rushing defenses in the league. Carr's going to be out, so Mariota's got to play against one of the best defenses. Granted, they'll probably run up some good schemes and good QB runs, but I don't think Las Vegas can win this game. Just give me Miami.
Now we're looking at Washington and Carolina. Well, McCaffrey's not going to play. He's been listed as doubtful, so I don't think he's touching the field. I want to pick Washington. They're playing in D.C. I just think Teddy Two Gloves and that offense aren't going to have enough firepower to actually beat the Washington football team's defense, especially if Antonio Gibson comes back.
Oh, man, with Antonio Gibson. I almost picked Carolina, but, jeez. Give me Carolina. I don't think a Dwayne Haskins team can win a football game.
Yeah.
If Alex, I don't know the status of Alex Smith. So let me say this. If Alex Smith is back, with or without Antonio Gibson, then Washington is going to win that game. But if Dwayne Haskins is under center with or without Antonio Gibson, Antonio Gibson is great, don't get me wrong, but I don't think Dwayne Haskins has what it takes to beat a football team.
You've convinced me. I agree. I'd go Carolina if Alex Smith isn't starting. After that game, we've got Indianapolis and Pittsburgh. For the first time in like 4 weeks, give me the Colts. Yeah. I know a struggling team whenever I see one, because the Chargers have struggled mightily this year for patches. So I can see a wounded animal, and the Steelers are wounded. This week will be huge. If they can beat the Colts, the ship might be a little bit – they're smoother sailing for the playoffs. But if they drop their fourth straight, right, number four?
Yep.
They drop their fourth straight to this Colts team, which I think is in the possibility – or the realm of possibility, it's getting bad in Pittsburgh. I'm talking like steel mills are shutting down, terrible towels are getting turned into the most terrible of things. It's not going to be good. It's going to be bedlam.
Yeah, so I think we talked about, like, the Steelers are due for a bounce-back game. Maybe. They have to play Indy, then they have to play Cleveland, and then they have to play a playoff team because they screwed their bye. And if you can only put up 17 points against Cincinnati – if your guys are still going to continually drop the ball at an alarming rate, if you're going to continue to miss throws against an actually good defense, Indianapolis is going to tear you up.
My biggest thing about this week is the Steelers' defense is in shambles. They've lost two of their best interior defenders with their combination of Bud Dupree and Devin Bush. Yeah. But their offense is really, really bad. James Conner is more of a water boy at this point than a running back.
Honestly.
Their running game sucks. They can't run the ball for anything. And I'm picking the Colts this week selfishly to a certain extent, because if there's one thing that I know is that Phil Rivers has gotten a really, really tough hand throughout his career in regards to playoff success and Super Bowl berths and all that fun stuff. So it would be a kind of fun comeuppance if Ben's slide downhill with the Steelers is prolonged through ex-Charger Philip Rivers kind of sticking the dagger in a bit deeper.
And I just want to continue to watch Mike Tomlin stare into the nether and just wonder what's happening.
But who knows? Juju did state he's going to stop dancing on logos today. So maybe that's just going to be the kryptonite
give me
everybody
Pittsburgh,
else.
Man. Oh, man. Just no, give me Indy. I'm not.
Indy's hot right now, and they're in a tight race with Tennessee.
I have nothing against Juju, and I have nothing against his dancing. Do what you want. You're playing. I will always be on the argument of, you're playing a game that you love and that, you know, a lot of other people love. Do whatever the hell you want, as long as it's like within, you know, not being a complete asshole. And if you want to dance, dance. Like, I don't care. Dance on the Cowboy Star. Like, Owens, fucking Terrell Owens did the thing in a Cowboy Star. Granted, he got blasted for it, but, like, just dance, dude. Do what you want.
You know, you want to hear a fun fact about Juju Smith-Schuster?
Hit me with it.
Since the moment Antonio Brown referred to him as Boo-Boo Smith-Schuster, he has yet to record a 100-yard receiving game.
Oh, no.
So, man, that'd be... All the AB stuff regarding the Steelers is so funny looking back on it. But... yeah, give me the Colts. Then we've got Kansas City, Atlanta. So another week where I say, yeah, give me the Chiefs by a lot. It's not even the Falcons' fault. It's in Kansas City. You've got a front runner for the MVP, or at least number two in a lot of people's minds. You've got Mahomes operating with the best offense in football. Atlanta's defense sucks, and their offense is dysfunctional. Yeah. It would take a miracle.
Look on the right side, Atlanta fans, there won't be a lead to blow.
Yeah, you guys, in your guys' draft, with your luck, you might get the first overall pick with how teams keep blowing their spot in the draft.
Yeah, there you go. Tank for Trevor. Got a chance.
And then we've got the Mitch Trubisky, I Am the Guy World Tour continuing this week, because it's the Chicago Bears against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And if there's one team in the NFL that doesn't want to win games, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. Whether it be for professional reasons or personal reasons, give me the Bears. If the Jags win this game, so be it. But man, that would be a bad beat for them.
Let me jump on this real quick. So it's pretty obvious that Jacksonville should not win another game. tank for Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
If Mitch Trubisky has played fairly well over these past like 4 weeks, ever since he got slotted in Green Bay. Granted, he lost to Green Bay, but he still played okay. His defense let him down kind of hard. If he puts up, like, I don't know who they play week 17, and we'll deal with that next week, but if he has a good game against Jacksonville, and then he has a good game week 17, like, is Mitch Trubisky transforming before our very eyes, or is this just a quick fluke and he'll be back to sucking next season?
Mitch has a bright spot every single year in fantasy and in the NFL. I hope he's turning a new leaf and he can actually be a consistent NFL quarterback, because I like him. He's a good dude. He's a consummate pro. He never really hangs his hat, and he's a good teammate. So I hope Mitch is turning a new leaf, but we've seen it before. Let's just hope it's different this time.
Find out. Give me Chicago nonetheless, though.
Same. The next game, we've got Deshaun Watson and the Texans playing the Cincinnati Bengals in Houston. Give me the Texans. They have some bad luck going their way, but the Bengals suck. They just beat the Steelers, sure. But Giovanni Bernard's mustache, I don't think it's going to beat out Deshaun Watson's cannon.
Yeah, give me Kevin Kuti and the Houston Texans.
David Johnson or whatever. Give me Johnson and Johnson at halfback. Only thing cleaner is Bill O'Brien's head.
Oof.
Yeah, it was bad. That one, we got Baltimore, New York. Oh, man, the Ravens are hot. Ravens are peaking at the right time. I think they lose this game. Someone's got to get fired. New York loses by at least a touchdown to the Ravens. I just don't see it any other way.
Yeah, no, but they're not going to stop Lamar Jackson. Nope.
Then we've got Cleveland versus the New York Jets, Jets. Give me Cleveland.
Jets are going to start a winning streak. They're insane. How can you stop the Jets now? Nonetheless, give me the Browns.
Man, if only I picked the Jets last week. That would have been insane.
That would have been some Confucius stuff right there.
Yeah, just sitting there meditating for 4 hours. Jets win in five. Yeah, no, give me Cleveland. Baker Mayfield. The Browns, this could be the biggest game in Browns' recent history. They could clinch a playoff berth if they win this week, give or take.
Is it a Browns thing, though, to lose to the Jets? If, like, can you imagine?
It would be like, oh my God, it would feel like the most right thing I've ever seen in my entire life, because the Jets don't know how to actually be good for themselves, and the Browns just always get in their own way. It would be like, you know, whenever like you have a hot knife and it goes through butter, it'd be like that. It would just make sense.
It'd be like a car crash you can't stop watching. You're just like, it's so terrible, but I can't stop looking.
Yep. I hope it doesn't happen, because I need the Jets to lose. I pick them, but it would be hard to see.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, and we've got the Los Angeles Chargers playing the Denver Broncos in LA. Give me Herbie fully loaded, baby. Let's just get some more touchdowns, break some records, ruin our draft pick, and get this boy the rookie of the year.
Yeah, give me the Chargers. Broncos have a decent defense, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to let that Bills game like tell me different. The Bills are hot. Bills' schemes are great. Bills have been tearing everyone up. So.
Until he stops being a catfish, then I can't bet on the Broncos.
Wow.
Drew Lock is like the Snickers commercial, but a human being. You're not you when you're hungry.
It's like...
Whenever he has a Snickers, he throws... So I don't like the variants on that. Herbert's better as a rookie than Locke is in year two, and they have better weapons on offense, and the defense isn't that bad.
It's like
give me the Chargers.
It's like a Snickers commercial, but Drew Locke is always hungry.
Yeah, Drew Locke. I'm DirecTV Drew Locke, and I'm cable Drew Locke.
We're the same person.
Exactly. It's yeah. As long as Anthony Lynn's not calling halfback dive after we get a 7-point lead for four more quarters, then I think we'll be good.
Just run.
And then we've
Austin
got
Eckler's bald head into the ground.
Poor guy. Then we've got the Los Angeles Rams against the Seahawks in Seattle. Man, I want to pick the Rams. I really do. Same. I think they're pissed off. I think Seattle goes into this game, and I think Sean McVay does some just genie bullshit and wins the game. The Rams need the win more than the Seahawks do. I'm pretty sure the Seahawks clinched a spot this past week.
Yep.
So I think the Rams show up more than the Seattle Seahawks do. I think Seattle wins, but I'm picking the Rams because I just think they have more going in, more momentum in a sense, because they just lost to the worst team in football, so they're pissed off. Whereas Seattle just barely survived Dwayne Haskins, which I think is insane.
Yeah.
But I think the Rams come out and punch somebody in the mouth.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey's probably going to lock down DK Metcalf again. DK Metcalf's going to be pissed off, blah, 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 blah. Rams are going to win.
Yeah. Philadelphia, Dallas, give me them Eagles, man. Jalen Hurts is – he's 1-1, right? Or he's 0-2.
He's 0-1.
No, the Eagles beat the Seahawks, yeah.
What? Excuse me? What are you saying to me?
Didn't the Eagles beat the Seahawks?
God, I hope not. Week 15, week 14. It's week 14. They beat the Saints. They beat the Saints.
The Saints. If we're talking about quarterbacks that are going to win a game, I trust Jalen Hurts more right now than I do Andy Dalton. As weird as that is to say.
So here's the thing. Here's going to be my reasoning. Dallas should lose this game so we can not have a chance at the playoffs and so we can not fall out of the top 10 and then not go to the playoffs and have like a top 20 pick. Dallas is going to win because they like to fuck shit up for themselves. Dallas is going to win and make a playoff push and possibly make the playoffs at 7-9 and completely screw their own draft pick. I am going to pick Dallas to win because I believe they're going to screw it up, but I pray to God the Eagles beat our ass.
I think the Eagles defense is better than your defense. Your secondary is really bad. It's bad. And I think Hurts is going to eat. I think Hurts is going to have 80 rushing yards.
To be fair, I think the paper shades up in my house are a stronger defense than the Dallas Cowboys, but.
Yeah. The Cowboys are like, the Cowboys are using a glue stick that they think is deodorant to try and block odor. That's their defense. They're applying the wrong thing for a certain task and it's just not working.
I mean, your armpit can't smell if you can't open it. So, I mean, you're trying.
Yeah.
You're trying, but it is 2nd and 10, so we're going to run the ball.
Give me the Eagles. We're going to probably not agree on this one, but it's Green Bay in Green Bay against Tennessee. Give me the Packers.
You make me sick.
Give me the Packers. Hear me out. This game might have MVP. It should have MVP implications.
100%.
Tennessee's secondary sucks. They're garbage. They're bad. They're really bad. Matthew Stafford put up almost 30 points in that defense. Jair Alexander's a top 5 corner in the game right now. AJ Brown's not getting loose for whatever he's been doing against the Packers. Packers can be ran on, yes. But can Tannehill outthrow Rodgers? Because I like the Packers' odds with Rodgers throwing 4 touchdowns opposed to Henry trying to rush for 4. So I think Tannehill can be corralled.
Give me Derek Lamar Henry Jr.
Whenever the Packers win this game.
Okay. Okay.
Whenever the Packers win this game, on the next episode, you are going to crown Aaron Rodgers the NFL MVP. Because in the moment that the Packers win this game, it will be because Aaron Rodgers either threw for 2 to 3 touchdowns and like 300 yards, or Aaron Jones went off. But you cannot fault Aaron Rodgers for Aaron Jones going off. Because if Clyde had 2 touchdowns and 150 yards, everyone would praise Mahomes because he opens up those lanes for him. Am I wrong?
But if Rodgers has another game like he did against Carolina, it doesn't look good for him. Whether or not he opens up those lanes for Aaron Jones, I agree. The passing game opens up the run game. I saw it when the Dallas Cowboys had a great passing game and DeMarco Murray hit like 8 touchdowns in 8 weeks. I saw it first. That's when I first started to understand that the passing game opens up the run game and sometimes vice versa. But not a lot of people see it that way.
I genuinely don't think the Packers win this game if Rodgers doesn't throw three touchdowns minimum. He needs to throw at least 2 to 3.
Probably.
So what I'm saying is whenever the Packers win and Rodgers has, because if Rodgers turns the ball over, they're going to lose. It's how it's going to work out.
It's the stats.
I'm just saying whenever Rodgers and the Packers beat the Titans, not saying they're going to win by like 14, it'll probably be like a 3-point game knowing how these teams are. But whenever the Packers win, on the show, he will be able to crown Aaron Rodgers a 3-time NFL MVP. And that's not Mahomes' fault. But at his age, in this season of all seasons, under the circumstances regarding supporting casts, Aaron Rodgers is more valuable than Patrick Mahomes. It's easy to lead the league in passing yards whenever you have two top five or two top 10 dudes in receiving yards.
Right.
And you cannot lie to me. If you looked up MVS.
I just hate Aaron Rodgers because he fucks my team year after year after year after year after year.
Listen here. You want to hear something funny?
Oh, no.
You're almost done with that bullshit. You know what I have to fucking deal with for the next 10 years?
Patrick fucking Mahomes.
So whenever Rodgers is sailing off into the sunset and the Cowboys can breathe for 10 minutes, I'm going to watch this dude win 5 MVPs. So I think Rodgers can get this one.
Honestly, God, if you think about it, if in a perfect world, if Drew Locke turned out to be like as good as like Herbert and Mahomes, imagine being a Raiders fan, mm-hmm. dealing with three franchise
Literally,
quarterbacks.
It'll be like the Wild West, just people shooting everywhere. The thing about it is, like, I'm sitting here and I had a thought in my head and I was going to say it, but I can't fully remember what I was trying to quantify. No, exactly. Whereas with the Cowboys, you're playing for your division every year. I have come to the fact and I understand that I'm playing for a wild card spot for at least the next 5 years.
It's like, you like the Chargers and the Chiefs are doing back to back and they both have their guns and it's 10 paces, turn around and shoot. And the Chiefs turn around and shoot after 3 paces. That's what the Chiefs get mm-hmm. to do. They're like, 3 paces. All right. Poof, oh, I won. Okay. Like, yeah. that's just how it's going to be, I think.
Enough about my Aaron Rodgers love for this season. Last game is going to be the Buffalo Bills against the New England Patriots in New England. Give me Buffalo, but New England could totally win this game. And hear me out. It's in Foxborough, and we don't know what the weather's going to be like. If it's snowing, anybody can win. But yeah, Josh Allen, we love you. So yeah, give me more Josh Allen.
Sean McDermott could put out the scheme on an Etch-a-Sketch, and they'd beat the Patriots. I think the Buffalo Bills are fine.
Yeah, you're right.
They are way too hot lose to New England. Granted, they already have the title, so they don't really have to win, but they should.
Yeah, the Bills need to keep pushing forward, though. They can get the 2 seed.
Yeah, with fucking Steelers losing. Yeah, they can.
Yeah. So, yeah, give me Buffalo. And then that wraps up our NFL coverage. I hope this time next week I can actually be screaming into a microphone, Rodgers for MVP. But if he has another dud, then it's probably Mahomes, unless Henry hits 2,000 yards.
Yeah. So quick disclaimer for the episode, now that the football, you know, section of our podcast has gone about 90 minutes. We're actually coming towards the end of football season, so this, you know, it'll probably turn into playoff predictions, and then the segment gets much shorter. So today, you know, we're a day late because of, you know, the holidays, scheduling issues. You know, it's a busy time for everybody. We understand. So we're going to cover Major League Baseball. As terms of NBA, we did a NBA preview show last week. If you haven't listened to that, please give that a listen. It has all our predictions, breakdowns of everything about the upcoming season. The NBA season started last night, on December 22nd, you know, the Clippers beat the Lakers and, the Nets blew out the Warriors. There's plenty of basketball happening right now, but go back, listen to our prediction show, and we're probably at the start of the new year going to separate basketball into its own show now that its own season. So just be on the lookout for that. It's kind of tough to pump out 2 episodes right now during the holiday season as much as we want to. Scheduling issues happen. everyone, you know, we all have families. So, with that, we're going to jump into baseball real quick, with just mainly rumors. Nothing really happened. A couple signings here and there, that I screenshotted. So you got Matt Andreese to the Red Sox. So he resigns, I believe, bullpen arm that the Red Sox can rely on. Tommy Canale goes to the Dodgers. I think that's a really good signing for the Dodgers. They boosted their bullpen with a guy coming off Tommy John surgery. Can throw really hard. Dodgers always have issues with their bullpen. Not so much last year, but to boost their bullpen, you can never have too many good bullpen arms. And the Tigers sign Jose Urena. Jose Urena kind of has a behavior problem, but he can be a part of that rebuild that the Tigers are doing. And if AJ Hinch can get him on the right track, Jose Urena can be really good. But the Marlins lost their patience with him, and I don't blame him. With that, let's talk about DJ LeMahieu. DJ LeMahieu is probably the best second baseman, maybe in the game. The best, maybe utility, but he played a decent amount of second base, so we'll just call him a second baseman. So I would say best second baseman in the game. Can win an MVP award, can hit for contact, power, run.
Yeah.
Didn't need Colorado. So we're in a New York versus New York battle right now. The Yankees obviously want him back because that's their MVP. That's the guy who's got them there. You know, when you have Stanton and Judge out on a consistent basis, DJ stays healthy, which is huge in today's game. You don't see a lot of guys play 162 anymore, and DJ could easily give you 162.
Yeah.
But now the Mets. The Mets want to ball out more than any team has ever balled out before that I've seen in the offseason. If the Mets can acquire DJ LeMahieu, if they can acquire George Springer, and they're even in talks for Nolan Arenado, this team could bolster like out of nowhere.
The NL East would be theirs for the taking.
They could trump the Braves like it's nothing. And the Braves are a damn good team.
They're a damn good team.
So it'll be with interesting.
The rotation to pair with LeMahieu. Obviously, they're not going to get Real Muto. But with LeMahieu, Springer, and Arenado, along with Pete Alonso, that's one of the best lineups in baseball.
And with Robinson Cano. Oh, never mind.
Oh. And set Yoenis Cespedes. Oh, forget about that one. But regardless, you could throw out a prime Brandon Crawford at shortstop, and you wouldn't be missing much.
Yeah, I could go out and shortstop, and they probably would be fine. Bat me ninth, I'll bunt. Find a way, easy. I'm a speedster, not really, but I'll try. And honestly,
I'll tear my calf going a straight 90.
Last I checked, I give great moral support.
That's what I'm saying. Locker room guy.
There is one signing. Michael Wacha, former St. Louis Cardinal, and I believe he was with the Mets last year, really faltered with the Mets big time. Had a great time in St. Louis when he was a Cardinal. He is off to the Tampa Bay Rays. With Tampa Bay losing Charlie Morton and maybe shipping Blake Snell, but those rumors have died down, so it wouldn't surprise me if Blake Snell stays at this point. Michael Wacha is a good middle of the rotation guy. Tampa Bay has really good success at developing pitchers, so if they can get Wacha back to his St. Louis days, Tampa Bay could easily be in line to have another good rotation. So that'll be interesting to see. The Philadelphia Phillies have offered to JT Realmuto, and honestly I think that's all they can really do at this point. If the Phillies don't get JT back, they're probably screwed.
Bryce Harper's gonna burn the entire city down.
He's gonna bring a title back to DC.
Riot.
He
already did.
He did. He might do it again. No, he probably won't. That suck. But man, you have to, like, with the Mets out of it, the Mets signed James McCann last week. Like, Mets are out of this race. I don't know how many teams can afford a catcher at JT's price. JT's price is skyrocket because he's
the best one on the market.
He's the last one. He's the best one and the last one on the market. The rest of the catchers, catcher is like like running backs in fantasy football. It's yeah. like your top like few guys and that's it. And JT's the top dude. He can hit, he can play defense. He can do it all. He can walk a rotation through. Like JT can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
So the Phillies need to keep him, and if they don't, I don't know who's going to sign him. But whoever signs him and whoever pays him, you know, granted, he could falter. There is always that possibility. But if I were a betting man, I would bet that wherever JT Realmuto goes, he will shine.
Mm-hmm.
The White Sox signed Cespedes. No, not Yoenis. They signed his half-brother, Yoelqui Cespedes. I guess he's one of the hottest international prospects on the market. And when your brother hits absolute bombs, I'm going to assume that you also hit absolute bombs. So we'll see how that signing works out for the White Sox. They just have a lot of big dudes who can hit home runs at this point.
Yeah, and Tim Anderson.
and Tim Anderson. We'll talk about Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish was, I believe, number two in Cy Young voting this year. He had an outstanding year behind Trevor Bauer. If Trevor Bauer wasn't there, Darvish easily would have won that award. Yu Darvish is a strikeout machine. He was with the Rangers. He was with the Dodgers. He was with the Cubs. His main problem is that he wants to strike everyone out, so he walks a lot of people. And if he doesn't have control, he's going to walk like seven dudes a game. Yeah. He's going to hang curveballs. So he's all about control. He has the junk. He has the velocity. He just has to control it. And boy, did he have control in 2020. Now the Cubs are looking to sell high.
They have to. They can't afford to pay that guy.
No. And the team that was in the rumors are the San Diego Padres. Oh, man. Let me tell you something. I already talked about how if the Padres got Blake Snell, they could have one of the best five-man rotations in 2022. Now, they probably have to give up a top dude for Yu Darvish, but if they can give up a top position player and keep Mackenzie Gore, and in 2022, you have Delson Lamet, Yu Darvish, Mike Clevinger, Mackenzie Gore, you retain one of your fifth guys, you're back to having one of the best rotations in baseball.
Oh yeah.
The Padres know that they have to slay Goliath in the Dodgers, and they are not backing down, and I admire that. They are not satisfied with a wild card spot. They want to win the division.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard. I think the Dodgers' biggest concern is age in their rotation. That's where they could fail at 100 and somewhat game season. If the season is beyond 120 games, I think that's where they could falter the most.
Mm-hmm.
But it's... I know Padre fans aren't used to winning, but, oh man, they may have a lot of winning coming their way. They are spending the money. Yeah. They have the farm system. And if they get Yu Darvish... Oh man, I could not imagine.
Yeah, being a Giants fan and being a Chargers fan are very similar stories at the current moment. But at least with the Chargers, we have Herbert. The Giants have a 30-year-old Mike Yastrzemski, who I love. He's a great player. But, man, it's going to be a long 5 years.
Yeah, it's what I'm living through right now. Poor Texas Rangers. Still love you, but you're killing me. You're killing me. Last but not least, Howie Kendrick, also known as Howard Kendrick, that lasted for an entire season, and he hated it. So Howie Kendrick, World Series hero Howie Kendrick, Game 7 hero, retires. Won the ring in 2019, had an awful season in 2020 with the Nats, decides to hang him up, had a great time as an Angel, got his ring with the Nats, and I think he's good. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but when you break that mold, when you break the mold of 10 service years, I think the percentage is like 20% of MLB players make 10 years. It might even be lower than that.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless of whether you're a Hall of Famer or not, if you can break that 10-year service time, you're good. I think you can retire and say, I had a good career. I did something, you know, not a whole, you know, you think there's been less than 20,000 MLB players throughout all time, and only 20%, maybe less of them reach 10 years of service time. So you're in, you know, you're in one of 2,000 people, and then have, you know, like a couple hundred of those are Hall of Famers. So not a Hall of Famer, but had a good career.
Damn good career.
Yeah, I think he can walk away.
Nothing to be ashamed of.
And it's been 13 seasons. He's in his late 30s. Spend time with your family. You're set for life.
Yeah, live your life.
You don't have to do anything else.
Enjoy your family.
Yeah.
Yeah, just take it easy for a while. And even if he wants it, I'm sure he'll get a broadcasting career at some point. He could flip that.
Oh, the sports world is so friendly to former players getting jobs. It's so easy. It's honestly why it's so hard to get a job as a normal person who just loves sports. It's because it's a former player's world. And it makes sense. Mm-hmm. You want the guys in the locker room doing the color. It makes sense.
Yeah.
But
the experience trumps.
Yeah. It'll always be open for that opportunity. You see it all the time. Like, oh, who's that? Oh, former player.
it keeps the fraternity of professional sports alive. I can respect it and enjoy it.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it gives an avenue to, you know, let's be real. Players make mistakes and players blow money. It happens.
Yeah.
But to be able to have that avenue and be like, I need a job because I fucked up. You know, I need to earn money for my family and I need to, you know, get back into the world of working because, you know, I blow my money. I mean, you live this million-dollar life for however many seasons you play, and then you just kind of – you have to slow it down a little bit if you're going to stop there. If you're going to stop and live the rest of your life without a job, you know, at 30, 40 years old, which you can if you earn, you know, enough money. But some guys get addicted to the lifestyle, and I don't blame them. Living a million-dollar lifestyle would probably be pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't complain about it.
Me neither. But what I will complain about is it's late at night. I think Devin's hungry.
I definitely need to eat something.
So we're gonna end the pod here. This isn't usually normal for us. Like I said, we'll jump into basketball on a separate episode. The NHL season starts on January 22nd, so we'll insert that. Go see what your team's schedule looks like if you're into hockey. But that's going to do it for us.
Yeah, and with the NBA season starting up, once we start actually firing out the NBA episodes, that first episode's going to have a lot of content because we're going to be able to observe what's been happening over the opening weeks of the NBA season. So, as always, it's been a pleasure being able to invade your homes, your headphones, your cars, whatever it may be you listen on. But pleasure is ours, as always. And Austin's the one that signs us off, so go ahead and hit him with it.
Everyone have a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, enjoy your time off. We will talk to you before the new year, so we'll hit you with that next week. But stay safe, enjoy your weekend, and have a wonderful time.
Yeah. Stay safe. Have a great one. And peace.